Amém. Pega a festa, não. Amém. Amém. Okay, good morning, everyone. Good morning, good morning. Good morning, morning, good morning. Okay. So one or two more shiurim about why we're studying Torah. And then, Amir Tashem, next week we'll start the tshuva process. We'll start talking about tshuva. Maybe I'll tell you a little bit about Rav Lichtenstein and tshuva. But there is a fascinating Gemara in Moed Katan. Rav Ashi, it's one of the last Amoraim. He compiled the Gemara along with Ravina. We'll talk a little bit in shiur about Rav Ashi, who is Rav Amor. Rav Ashi once was walking in the marketplace, and he saw the Malach HaMavos. Pretty scary. And it was clear to Rav Ashi that the Malach HaMavos had come for him. He wasn't just one shopping for some chumas for Shabbos. The Malach HaMavos had come to get Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi told him, I wanted 30 extra days. It takes a lot of guts to stand down the Malach HaMavos. I want 30 extra days. So Malach HaMavos says, why do you want 30 extra days? So Rav Ashi says, because we all know that when a person walks into Shemayim, they make the following announcement. Ashrei mi sheba lekan v'talmudo biyadav. It's a very well-known song. Ashrei mi sheba lekan. So he wanted to review all of his learning before he went to Shemayim, just to get all of his learning in order. Some people, before they pass away, they want to get all their affairs in order. All their Yerusha, all their inheritance, their bills, their portfolio. Rav Ashi wanted to make sure that he chazered all the Torah he had learned in his life 30 days before he died, and evidently the Malach HaMavos granted him his request. And why is this such an important Gemara, aside from it showing how much Rav Ashi prioritizes learning? Well, we don't really know what Olam Haba is. We'll see how the Rambam defines it. But one thing is pretty clear in Olam Haba. There's nothing physical about Olam Haba. There's no body, there's no food, there's no trees, there's no nature, there's no money. That's all fades with this world. Nothing in this world. I've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. No one carries their possessions into the next world. Which means that the only experience in this world that we extend to the next world, the only thing that we encounter in this world that we'll also encounter in the next world is Torah. Even mitzvahs. There's no lulav in the next world. There's no tefillin in the next world. There's no matzah. There's no isurim. We're just spirits. So the only part of our world that is eternal is Talmud Torah. It's the only bridge between the two worlds. Now, it doesn't in any way devalue all the other mitzvahs and chesed, because those certainly create a person and a personality that fits in the next world. But if you ask yourself, when I'm in this world, when am I tasting eternity? When am I living Olam Haba? When I'm learning Torah. Everything else is not Olam Haba. And this, of course, is the Rambam's famous definition of Olam Haba. It's in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam writes, Olam Haba, Ein Bo, Guf, V'Gviya. There are no bodies, there's nothing physical. Just the righteous souls. Like a Malach HaShares. Ein Bo Achila, V'Lo Shtia. No food, no drink. Lo Devar Michol HaDvarim, Shegufos B'nei Adam, Tzichim L'Melam HaZeh. Nothing that your body needs. I mean, think of it this way. Let me push it to an extreme, which the Rambam speaks about. Conceivably, if nothing from our world continues in the next world, then that means that not only does physicality fade, but also emotions fade, and also relationships fade. So you know when people say that when you get to Shemayim, you'll be reunited with your parents, and when someone passes away, we'll have the Levaya, he's going to be in Shemayim and be with his parents. Well, you'll be with your parents, you'll probably see them, but you won't live as your parents' child. You won't be your parents' child. Because if you're your parents' child, then who's going to be your grandparents' child? And we live in time-bound frameworks. So in 1950, your parents were your grandparents' child in 1970. But now it's 2019, and now you're your parents' child. So in Olam Haba, you won't live in your parents' home, which means the relationship between parent and child basically won't exist. We won't have emotional relationships. Okay, so I don't know how true... how complete that is, but it's obvious it's a different reality. So everything in our world will shift, except for Talmud Torah. And there's nothing physical. Could go in yeshiva, v'yamida, you don't sit, you don't stand, shena, you don't sleep, misa, you don't die, v'etzev, v'schok, there's no emotions, you're not happy, you're not sad. At least you don't oscillate. Ella, so what is it all about the Rambam writes? Here's the famous punchline of the Rambam, the money line. Sadikim Yoshvim, Ve'atrosam Berashayim. It's hard to know what that crown is. They're not walking around in a Purim crown, but it's some nobility, it's some intellect, it's some supernal light. Supernal light means a light beyond our world. It's something that shrouds you or that covers you. Ve'nehenim Mizuv Hashchina. And you're just exposed to Hashem. You're just receiving Hashem's word, studying His Torah, studying His will. So that's an incredible thought. Because Torah is the condensation of God's will. It's the only part of our world that's immortal, that lasts beyond this world. Remember that the next time you're studying a piece of Bava Basra, it's the only part of this world you carry with you into the next world. It lends meaning to it. Sometimes it's so hard for beginners in learning to get meaning from Talmud Torah. So one form of meaning in Gemara is to try to see it as Hashem's will, and to try to see it's not just a random set of details, but even after 2 weeks, you can imagine if you spent a lot of time doing this, you'd see Hashem. But even if you don't, just know that at some level, this material you're studying, and the really amazing part of this is, it's not just that if you study Torah in this world, you'll merit entry into the next world, but there's a continuum. The Medrash Darshans, listen to this Medrash. Why does Hashem give us Torah in this world? Why does Hashem give us Torah in this world? That's a strange question. So we should study Torah, so we should fulfill Torah. Well, fulfill Torah could have given us a guidebook, a handbook, what to do, what not to do. Why does Hashem want us to study Torah in this world? After all, it's 80, 90, 100, 120 years. That's a flash in the pan. That goes pretty fast. Why does Hashem take something so eternal and subject it to the world of mortality in the world of terminus? So listen to the Medrash. The reason Hashem gives us Torah in this world, obviously it's hyperbole. Shakol asidim lios lemeidim Torah b'yakadosh baruch hu olam haba. Because in olam haba we'll study from Hashem, not for Shana Aleph or Shana Bet or Shana Gimel, but for Shana, what year are you in olam haba for? I'm in my Shana 100 and billionth year. Can you remember that world? I can't even remember that world. It feels like my kindergarten class. That's how far off it's removed. I can't even remember that world. What did we have, hair? Can you remember what that thing called hair was? We actually followed people running around in pajamas, hitting each other once a week. That was pretty funny. Who remembers that? So we're learning from HaKadosh Baruch Hu endlessly, endlessly, endlessly. And listen to this. Yuhakol Yodin Be'ezah Parshu Asif. The reason we have Torah in this world is that we should be familiar with it when we come to the next world. So when Hashem says, let's learn King and Dvarim today. Oh yeah, in 2019, we learned a little bit of that, right? We still remember a little bit. There was a Shri Migash and a Ramban, and the Ramban will come into the room, and the Shri Migash will come into the room, and Hashem will share their Torah and his Torah, and then everyone will interact. Okay, this is hyperbole. We don't just study Torah in this world, so we should be familiar with it in the next world. Obviously, we study Torah in this world for many, 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 many important this world reasons, even if there won't be a next world. But this is really endgame. This is really ratcheting up the consequences. The Torah you study today isn't just your ticket of entry into the next world, but the Torah you study today is the same Torah you study in Olam Haba with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, when you're in medical school, you really want to remember the ideas you study, the dissections, the anatomy, because you have a sense. Well, it's not math. Math I study in college, but I just want to train my mind, get exposure to math. But medicine, I'm going to practice this surgery every day of my professional career for 50 years. I really have to know this. So the duration and how relevant it is across the duration means you take that information very seriously. Unfortunately, we don't always see Torah that way. We let it go. And if we recognize the eternal duration of Torah, it'd be something, wow, I got to learn. I got to remember. I have to try to categorize it. I can't wait to get to Shemayim and try out my Torah on some real people, you know, some software. I read this, and what do you think about this? What I thought about this, of course, they'll run circles around me, and they'll put me in my place, and I'll feel like an idiot, but at least I'll try it. At least I will have tried. But it doesn't feel, some of the inversion in yeshiva is to make what doesn't feel real, namely Torah, just this thing we studied in high school, feel real. And to recognize some of the things that feel real and that seem to have concrete, lasting durability, like everything in our world, which is great, there's nothing demonic about it. It's fading, it's transient. We have to live in a world of transience, we have to work with a world of transience, but it's transient. And to try to flip that sense of why we're living. We don't just live concrete, we live imaginatively. What's long-lasting? In 130 years from now, we'll all be dead. None of us will be here, right? None of us. But we'll be in Shemayim together, Meretz Hashem. What will have currency? What will matter? And the only thing is our Torah. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Shabbat Shalom.
Yes. Just a quick question.
Sure.
Regarding taking meds on Shabbos, if it's like a strong Advil, is there a problem with taking it?
I'm a very, very big maker.
Yeah.
I'm a very, very big maker. Rabbi Yosef is the biggest maker. It's all out the window. Take whatever you need. I'm going to make it as follows. The window of what you can't take to me is very, very, very small. Because anything you need for maintenance, like vitamins, and that's not before. In the past, you want to. On the other hand, if you have a headache and you're not for Lamita, then you're allowed to take medicine. And today, aspirins have become maintenance for many people. Many people, they need their aspirin. Not like you're going to a hospital to take an aspirin. You're going to your... That's nice. They went to an apothecary and they ground up some... So, I forget, I'm not even saying Radio said that the whole issue today, so money doesn't, but even if it does apply. So you have to find that small little window where you're sick, but you're not sick enough to have a really, really big headache and fall in a chash barosho. On the other hand, it's not maintenance, cause, and most of it is maintenance and antibiotics, but chalal you have to keep taking. So, like if you have a minor headache you don't take, or a minor cold or something, you don't take that. Take. But... Some people argue, but I feel like, and then you throw Rav Yosef on top of it, you make it like, once in a while you're taking an extra pill because you're not feeling on your game. Okay, so don't take that. But then it's maintenance already because it's a vitamin. Okay?
Thank you.
Avi, here. Thank you. Yes. You met me. I went to my son's Golani Hashbah. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. I took a few pills. I was trying to, a little bored last night, so. Thank you again, Abby. Thanks your mom. I'll thank her also. What? Thank you. Thank you for helping it work out. Yes,
can you remind me, yesterday when you spoke about the two different kinds of ways of getting stuck, either the Shema or just making sure
the money gets from point A to point B, just supporting, right. Knowing that your money is not yours, you have to use it.
It says in the parasha, right? I'm saying, I guess you could say it from the mitzvahs from the field, right?
Shechacha, you forgot it. No, you never really wanted to give it, you just forgot it in the field. You don't even know you forgot it. You go home, Yanni has a right to take it, you're a guy in the mitzvah.
Right, so what was the difference, and how come in the Gemara it said that you wanted...
No,
there
are two types of tzedakah. One is it's tzedakah of just being mekayem the mitzvah and getting my money to that poor person. And one is the moral and ethical engagement in the process and trying to become a better person. And that you only do when you give it, and you give it for the right reasons. You have to have kavanah, you have to know that you're giving it. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai wanted his nephews to have that higher grade, not just giving the money, but giving the money with moral experience.
And why do we say that in the Torah it says it gives a special star for
just to stress that this is also tzedakah. You would think this isn't tzedakah. So the Torah emphasizes in note, even this is tzedakah. This is not the only tzedakah, but even this.
Even this and even more of this.
Right. If I say even Morty can come to Yeshiva.